Okay, it's just a test. When you cough, you hit about all the levels on your LED meters, and it can show up real easy. Just my own way I found. So check it. Okay. Okay, this morning, as I said, we'll be in Romans chapter 1. Powerful, powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. Okay? So I ask you this morning, as I begin to teach this teaching, to put on your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks, okay? And I'm talking about the one that resides in you, okay? Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, with men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay? Let's go back to the first verse. And God give us grace and mercy to understand this. This is the foundational chapter of this book. If we don't understand the first chapter, the foundation, what's the rest of the house going to look like? We're going to have the walls all crooked and the top's going to fall in on us and everything else. So we've got to get our foundation right, don't we? Okay. So we need to pay attention to what Paul's talking about from the very beginning. Okay, first verse again. Paul, which means small, okay, a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. You know, as long as you see yourself as a big person, you'll probably not be much of a servant or a slave, will you? Because the big person's in control. See? Huh? See? There has to be some humility. That means reducing. Remember what John the Baptist said? I must decrease that Christ increase in me. See? And that's what Paul is saying here in his nature, or his name, is the fact that he's been decreased. God has made him small. He really was a little short guy, so that's not the issue. He's telling us a parable here. Called, or literally, the word called is divinely appointed. See, Paul's not saying, hey, I made a choice. I made a choice at the altar, and I asked Jesus to forgive me, and now because I did it, I get to be an apostle. Well, see, that's what the church teaches. You make a choice. Paul tells you right from the start, it ain't about me. It's about what my Father has divinely appointed. Hello? And if anybody thinks anything different than that, they got a hole in their head. And all their intelligence is rolled out. See? All their understanding is rolled out. Because God makes the appointments. True or false? It's not about us appointing ourselves. That's what's wrong with the church. The church has set up all these seminaries. Cemetery, same thing. Bunch of dead people in them. Both of them. But here's what I'm saying. They set up their own idea. They said, look, what we'll do is we'll train them the way we want them. And they'll tell us what we want to hear. Hello? And that's all they're doing. They're not listening to God. You know, God has got a plan set up. And because what God did 2,000 years ago, is that the same thing he's going to do today? No, he's still got a plan. And it's not going to be the same thing all the time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a purpose. But I'm saying he may choose to work through you differently than he did somebody else. Right? So why should I try to be mimicking or following like a bunch of penguins in a row or a bunch of sheep walking down a path? I'm supposed to be who I am, right? You're supposed to be who you are. And I can't tell you what God has got for your life. The only way you're going to find out what God's got for your life is you've got to talk to him. You've got to have the intimacy with God. You've got to have that communion and relationship. And see, part of that is through our fellowship. See, by talking to each other and sharing with our troubles and our problems and things like that, I'm knowing more about God and how God deals with people, and I can understand in my mind. See, because the pattern that God did in my life is not like Lloyd's. Not the same. We might have some parallels similar, but I guarantee you there's things that's different. You know why? Because his DNA is a little different than mine. But it's still part of God's DNA. Part of it. See? It's just a part of it. We all have things there. Yeah. Okay? But he's this servant of Christ, divinely appointed as an apostle. Now, do you know what an apostle is? It's an ambassador of the gospel. Well, yeah, we hear that all the time. I'm an ambassador. You know, had a man come here one time, said, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to punch me out before he went out the door. I think there was some duality in that man. See? And the reason he wanted to punch me out, because I said I had resurrection life in me. Huh. It doesn't make much sense, but that's where the man was at. But an apostle is someone sent with orders. Do you hear that? Not just an apostle of the gospel, an ambassador of the gospel, but it's someone, see, an ambassador is someone who's sent out to do goodwill for whoever he's working for. Isn't that true? We have ambassadors from our country to all over different nations, and they are ambassadors that carry the message of our country to some other country. We are ambassadors sent out with a mission from the head person, God, to do certain things. And see, when my mission is sent one direction, it doesn't mean you got the same order I got. Hello? Everybody has an order, and you don't get your order from me. Hello? You don't get it from another person. You don't get it from somebody laying hands on you. You get it from the head, and your head, like it says in Corinthians, the head of all humanity is Christ. All humanity, head is Christ. Okay? So we got to get out all this stuff about people doing everything. And then he says, when he's appointed, divinely appointed to be an apostle, he was separated, or literally he was appointed the gospel of God. Now, everybody says, whoa, he's got the gospel. If you walk down the street and ask 100 people, what is the gospel of God? I seriously doubt if one person, and you can stand in front of a church and get all the church people to do it. If you ask every church person within 100 miles of where we're seated right now, where we're seated, when they come out of the church today, what is the gospel? They say, oh, good news. Okay, what is the good news? See? Don't tell me you got good news if you can't tell me what it is. You're just jerking my chain. You're stroking me. Come on, tell me what it is. Right? Tell me what it is. Don't tell me you got the good news. Tell me what it is. Why are you sitting on it if you know it? Why ain't you telling somebody if you got good news? See, because the church ain't got no good news. If they told you the truth, they'd lose their money. They'd lose their control over somebody. Well, hello, you never really had it anyway. God's in control. See? And everybody gets caught up in what they think the good news is. Well, I'm going to tell you what the good news is, because I'm not ashamed of it. That's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is God's going to reconcile all of creation back to himself. I'm not afraid of that. I get persecuted for it all the time. So what? They can't touch me until God gives them the permission. I can read the book. I know what my Father says. He's in control. Nobody can come and touch me unless he lets them do it. If I've got something to do, I must perform it before anyone can take me out. Same with you. There's what knowing the truth and having a relationship with God will do for you. It'll make you so bold it scares people, because you're not afraid to say what you believe. See, most people are afraid to say what they believe. There's a lot of people who believe what I just said, but they're afraid to say it. I've talked to preachers and they say, would you realize what that would do if I would say that? I said, yeah, it'd put you back in your place. I know what it'd do to you. It'd put you right back in your place as a servant. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to be the servant to the body of Christ. He said, I give you gifts. The Son of Man gave gifts unto the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Gifts don't come to take. Hello? A gift isn't coming to take from you, is it? Bond slave. Mm-hmm. And he says, "This he was separated to the gospel of God, or appointed to the gospel of God, which he had promised or announced prior through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." So what he's telling you, this gospel has been announced from the very beginning. No one paid attention to it. No one saw it. You know why? Because it was a veil on their minds. Their eye was in the way. I, me, my, mine. They were concerned about themselves. They weren't concerned with what God had for everybody else. Now, you want to know where it starts? In the beginning, of course. But in Scripture, Genesis 12, verse 3. Abraham was told by God to leave your father's house, your country, your kindred, get out of this place, and go to the place that I show you. Well, guess what Abraham did not do? He didn't do what he was told. He wasn't obedient. Did you know that? Boy, old faithful Abraham. He was a liar, a coward, and disobedient. Well, that's a shock, isn't it? That's the way the church preaches him. Faithful Abraham. He walked on gold. He walked on the water, you might as well say, is the way the church preaches it. Abraham was a liar and a thief. He'd done a lot of things that was bad. He He told his wife, "You pretend that you're my sister." She was his sister. See, it was a half-truth. You know what a half-truth is? A lie. He was a coward. He couldn't defend his own wife. He wanted somebody else to have his wife so he could save his own skin. Faithful Abraham. Yeah, right. He was God's, but God showed you, "I'm working through a vessel that's not in perfection." Don't think that you have to walk in absolute perfection and never make a mistake or never have a thought go awry in your mind before God can use you. All you're doing by that thinking is keeping God from using you. You're saying, "God, I can't work for you. I can't do for you because I'm not perfect." God never asked you to be perfect so he could work with you. Did he? See, that's a concept that people give you. But he promised in Genesis 12, verse 3, and then Paul brought this up and reiterated this. And let me turn you there to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. I know I taught that not long ago, but it never hurts to go back and look at it again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Paul is speaking here of Abraham. And through the whole passage there, you can see that. He's talking about foolish Galatians to start with, which don't believe the truth, okay? In verse 8 he says, "The scripture foreseeing that God would justify or render innocent the heathen through," right, "or from out of faith, preached ahead of time or announced the good news in advance to Abraham saying." Now if he just stopped right there, he announced it to Abraham, we wouldn't know what it was, would we? But he put that word in there, saying, guess what? Now there's something else going on. See? He said, "This is the gospel that I preached to Abraham before the foundation." Okay? Way back there. And he says, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." Abraham, in you shall all nations be blessed. The same thing he said back in Genesis 12:3 when he said, "Abraham, if anybody blesses you, I'll bless them. If anybody curses you, I'll curse them. But in you shall all families be blessed." There's the gospel of God. All shall be blessed. Well, then how can you have this eternal hell the church preaches and still have everybody being blessed? You think I'm going to be blessed burning in hell? How can anybody say that? It's an oxymoron. It totally contradicts itself. Jesus said very clearly in the Gospels, "I created hell for the devil and his angels." And it ain't the guy with a pitchfork. Okay? We'll get through that. It's another story. But he said, "I created for hell for the devil and his angels." He never said one time in Scripture, not even one time, that I'll place a human being in hell. So guess who did? Preachers. Preachers told you you're going to hell. You know why? So they can control you and control your pocketbook. That's all it's about. It's that injection into your mind that you got one. And see, all of us have heard this injection about hell into our minds. It's not real. Oh, I'm saying there's hell, but not the hell that the church preaches. And if Jesus created something, it couldn't be eternal. The only thing eternal is God. So if hell was created, that means it started. Anything eternal has no beginning and no ending. Hello. So hell can't be eternal because it was created by God's own word. So it can't be. Hell is temporal. Absolutely. It's between your ears. And you can stoke the fire or put it out, whichever way you want it. You can determine how much you've got of it and how long it's going to be there. How much time you're going to wrestle with God. Okay? Let me go on into the third verse. We're just getting started, getting loosened up here. I'm going to fire today. Concerning his son. Now the next four words are added words. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, are all four added words. They're not in the writings. Concerning his son, which was made from out of the seed of David, according to the flesh. According to flesh. Jesus came by the flesh through the seed of David. Okay? And declared or appointed the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from or through the dead. By the resurrection through the through death. From death. That's how it marked him, who he was. By whom we have received what? Hello. How many people in here think you need grace? You already got it. He said received, past tense word, true or false. Well, then you don't have to wait on it. Guess what you've got, Jenny? You've got grace in your life whether you know it or not. God gave you grace. You didn't ask for it. It's not something you beg for. God gives you grace because it's His heart. The word grace means a divine influence in your heart. God has divinely influenced your heart whether you like it or not. He didn't ask your permission. Huh? That's what they say. You've got to ask. But you know what? My book says God does what He wants. Act on. Okay. I didn't hear the word you said. But the word grace literally means this. A divine influence in your heart and a reflection of what's going on inside, outside. See? It's reflecting it into your lifestyle. So if God is working in my life, now here's a misconception. God's working in my life, so it must be a walk through the tulips. Oh, so wonderful. Bull. You're going through pure hell when God works in your life. There's when the conflict comes. There's when the two natures collide. It's like the hot air and the warm air colliding, and you got hurricanes and tornadoes. That's what's going on in your life. That's what it talks about in the Revelation, about the greatest earthquake been on the earth since man has been. There's the earthquake that's going on in your life because God is working in your life. So why are you fighting? You're just like Jacob wrestling with God all night long. In all your ignorance, you're wrestling with God. Just let it loose and let God touch you in your innermost being. He touched him in his thigh. Speaks of his reproduction and his strength. And he changed the way he walked, didn't he? And you know what? The man never walked the same. But he slowed down his gait. Just like Isaiah said, the eagles fly, and then you run, and then you walk. When you get mature, you'll walk. You're not in a hurry about nothing because time has no bearing on anything. It's a rest of God because God's in control. See? Changed everything about him. His reproduction changed. You know, he never had anything but flesh up to that time. The first thing he produced was a flesh son, wasn't it? Ishmael. And when God got a hold of him, he said, just wait up, son. Don't run out ahead of me. Wait on me. And he slowed him down where he couldn't run too good. See? So he had to just take his time. And God got him to the place. Abraham was 99 years old when he conceived the son. He was 100 when he was birthed. See, we get in a hurry. What's the past? What it should be? Well, it's not possible. Everything's possible with God. He'll take you past the limit. He's the one that sets the limit anyway. See, He has a time and a purpose and a thing for everything under the sun. Let Him be what He wants to be in your life. Quit trying to wrestle with God. When you see this turmoil, don't think it's some devil. Don't think it's something that you did wrong. It's what God is doing right in your life that's causing the turmoil. And because of my wrong thinking, He's realigning it. And there's a turmoil in there. You ain't going to get nobody to change their mind. Just say, okay, just go ahead and change me. I'm ready. Huh. Ain't nobody giving that up. The I in you won't let it go out. I is going to hold on. The ego is going to hold on to everything. See? Let God do what He wants to do. Okay, so we got to the word grace. An apostleship or a commission into obedience. We have received grace and the commission to obedience. Hello. The only thing God's concerned with in your life is one thing. Obedience. Obedience. Nothing else is going to impress God. You can do all the things you want to do, all the doo-doos, and you just have to shovel it up because it's not going to please God. The only thing that's going to please God is obeying what He has to say. And the word to there, right after the word obedience, to the faith, is concerning the faith in all nations. Obedience where? In all minds. See, God's not concerned with a few people like the church is. The church is concerned with getting a few people saved. God's got a better view than that. My God's got a whole lot better view than that. See, because He's looking from a much loftier position. And He can see all. And you know what His picture is? All. See, nobody wants to hear that, but God wants it, and He's going to get it. I don't care what anybody thinks. He didn't ask for our permission to do this thing. He said, "For all in all nations, concerning His what? Concerning his what? The word name is nature, character. It's the word anom. It means nature and character. See? So concerning all nations, they're all going to end up with this same nature. Hello? See, we can't come to the end of what we call time and say, okay, all the bad people, you've got to go over there. And see, this is what's the problem with kingdom folk. They think because I'm kingdom, the rest of you still got to go do your thing in hell, see? That's what they think, see? But that was under the law. Even that parable was given under the law. So guess what? We have to realize this. Everyone's going to end up with this mind of Christ. But see, some's going to have rewards and some's not. Those that are obedient, it says, shall have rule in Proverbs 17:2. Wise servants shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and he'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. How could God leave us in our worldly thinking and give some people the mind of Christ and say, okay, now you're all together? They oppose each other. Do you see what I'm saying? They're opposing to each other. We can't, when he finishes removing the wickedness from the earth, and we're the earth, and he takes that wickedness, that Adamic thinking out of us, it can't be no more. It's gone. He said, I'm going to take that stony heart out of you and put that soft heart in you. Hello? So you got to realize it's going away. You can hang on to it as long as you want to here, but it's going to go. It's going to go. Huh? Oh, it's going to be revealed. That's right. In whom are you also appointed by Jesus Christ? You're also the appointed of Christ. We're appointed because we're in him. See, it's not about Dave. It's not about Bob. It's not about anybody else. It's about me being in him. And when I'm in him, it's not the same as him being in me. Because when he's in me, I'm still in control. I'm the one you'll look at because he's hid in me. But when I'm hid in Christ, you don't see me. You should be seeing Christ. Hello? That's where we should be. I'm hid in Christ. Didn't he say we're hid in Christ? Okay, then that's what we should be. I'm hid in Christ, and it's not about me, is it? To all in Rome. He said, I'm talking to everybody in Rome. What did Rome represent? It represented the world of that day, all they knew to be the world. Rome was in control of everything, see? The natural world, the age that was then, controlled by the natural man. That's what he's talking about. Everybody that's in the world, beloved of God, appointed saints. Look what he says. Grace to you. Grace to you. If you're sons of God, what you got coming? Grace. He didn't say, I remember what you did on December the 13th, 1922, and you're going to pay for that. He said, grace to you. If you're in the world, you're sons of God, he said, I got grace for you. Come on. God's not mad at anybody. He said, grace to you and peace. Hello. When are you going to get it? You're not going to get it. You got it. You don't believe it. And the only thing keeping you away from the peace of God, guess what it is? It's the way you think. See, it's that other man that's wrestling with God. In our ignorance, in our carnality, we want to wrestle with God. I don't want to give up my way of doing something to hang on to what and hang on to what I've got and receive God too, because you can't have it. I had expressed this to me one time. One of our daughters expressed it. She said, I feel like a ping pong ball going back and forth between it. I want this, but I don't want that. You know, and I said, I understand, but you got to make a choice here. Which side of the net you're going to live on. Yeah, so you got to make a choice. Somewhere you do have to make a choice. Because everyone gets the opportunity to look at all this confusion, don't they? Someplace I got to say, stop. Stop the world. Was that one Skeeter Davis used to sing? Let me off. Make the world go away. Stop the world. Let me get off. See? I got to say that somewhere. I got to say it to my mind. Stop. You don't have the right to control me anymore. My Lord and Master is God, not me. You have the authority. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and the enemy's the carnal mind. Hello. I have authority over that. You do too. Won't you just jack slap that thing and throw it in the back seat? You don't have to put up with it. Starts talking crap to you, slap it and throw it in the back seat. You're not driving. God's driving this thing. It's his vessel, not yours. Put in the trunk, lock the door. There you go. And sink the car in the lake. But peace from God our Father. Now see, the word thee isn't in there. Peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. See, everybody tries to think there's two entities here. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so we see, when you say those things, it makes it sound like two. Take the word thee out of there. From God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It's one. Didn't Jesus say, I and the Father are one? See, they're trying to make two or three entities here. And you got to forget, you don't ever forget that empty chair with the Holy Ghost sitting in it, see? Because you can't see the Spirit. Forget that stuff. God is one. And he can appear in any form he wants to appear in. Okay, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because of you all. In your faith, that your faith is spoken of throughout or in the whole world or the whole cosmos. All the orderly arrangement of humanity. People are talking about your faith. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about the first fruit, the Christ in you. People are talking about it because of the way you live your life. You know, you're like an infection in the world. You're like a disease in the world. And the world might see you as true sons of God as being some kind of disease. You know, they want to call you OCD or fanatics or something because you're so into God. I watched a ball game yesterday and guys had their faces painted and bellies way bigger than mine, and they was out there bumping bellies, painted all different colors and things, and had words all wrote all over them, screaming and yelling, acting absolute fools, and they say, boy, they're having fun, ain't they? And I'm excited about God and his life in me and what he's got planned for us, and I'm a fanatic. I'm obsessive compulsive. I'm crazy. I'm a heretic because I love God and I have a good news message that he has in his book, and I'm not afraid to tell you. That makes me bad. Well, then this label me bad then, because I'm going to continue to give the same good message that he gave me. See, the good news when he came to me was, son, I've already taken care of you. That's why my son went to the cross. It's already been taken care of. Whew, man, I needed that, I guarantee you, because I had nothing from church except condemnation and a first-class ticket to hell. And God came along and said, son, don't believe that stuff. Look at my word. Know my word. You can't be deceived if you know my word. Let me show you my nature and character. And see, when he showed me that, guess what? Woo, I'm free, and now you're dangerous to the church world. See, because you're going to tear up their traditions. Well, you know what? I love to do that. When I tear up those traditions, somebody's going to get free. Man, ain't nothing better than that. I know, I've experienced it. I'm free from it. They don't sign my paycheck and they don't sleep with me, so they got much effect on me. Oh, I forgot. Well, I don't have a paycheck, do I? She caught me. I've been out picking up pop cans and giving her a paycheck every week. Okay. He said, I thank my God for you throughout the whole world, the whole cosmos, because God is my witness. Who's my witness? See, you don't have to worry about anybody else. It's great to have a friend that you can trust in, but God is my witness, whom I serve not with, but in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son. The only way you can do it is in. You know why? Because God is in, internal. God doesn't work external. God's working internal. That's where he dwells, and that's where he does his work. Okay? That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Just had a request from a lady or a statement, questions. Don't know how to really categorize what she was saying in the letter she sent us from Canada. and she was concerned about prayer. How come all these people coming to the kingdom message don't want to pray? And I said, well, it's a perversion. I haven't answered it yet, but I'm going to answer on this tape. So if she gets the tape, she'll have the answer. But it's a perversion of the truth. See, I don't not pray. I only pray what my Father tells me. Hello? It's not about praying about Aunt Susie's hangnail. It's people say, come and pray that God will give me this certain thing. Well, I don't know if that's what God wants or not. So if I pray it, I'm wasting my breath and giving false hope to the person that asked me to pray. And what I tell them is, I'll pray God's will in it. How about that? Well, no, wait, I didn't want that. Well, you don't want that, then what do you want? You're trying to serve yourself, see? I want to pray what God wants. If I don't pray what God wants, would it come to pass? No. So why waste my breath? I took my breath, my energy, and prayed about something that has nothing to do with nothing. Okay? Jesus said, I only say what my Father says. I only do what He tells me to do, or what I see Him do. That's it. See? It is. It's absolutely the way they were taught in the Passover and Pentecost realms. When you come to the tabernacles realm, and God, I don't know how many people have had asked me this question, why can't I pray like I used to? Well, what you prayed before wasn't much. You might have been impressed by it because of all those long prayers that Jesus said the Pharisees used, and we were all Pharisees at some time in our walk. We were doing what we were told, but we didn't have the communication with the Father. We were just repeating long prayers to impress somebody. That is worthless. We all have been through it. The best thing you can do is let that be that hay, wood, and stubble, and let it be burned up. Forget about it. Step into maturity. Now when I speak, I want to speak what God speaks. And I can say this right now, since I've come to Tabernacles, y'all know, you don't hear me doing a whole bunch of praying, do you? Does that mean I'm not talking to my Father? See, this means I ain't putting no show on for nobody. My lifestyle should be a whole memorial to God. But when I'm praying, when I pray something, I'll have no doubt in my mind when it comes out of my mouth, it's a done deal. See? I'm not saying that in arrogance. I'm saying that in confidence. I don't pray things I don't believe is going to come to pass. If I don't have the unction from the Spirit of God to pray them, I'm not praying them. I don't care who gets upset about it. It's okay. Because God don't want me to go out here and practice, prophesy to the trees. Practice prophesying. Oh, God, I've heard it all. Just say whatever you want to say and God will fulfill it. God's not my puppet on a string. I'm His servant. See? I'm His. So He don't have to do anything for me. See? It's all crazy what they've taught us. We've got to get this stuff out of our heads. But this prayer thing, don't worry about it. It'll all come to settle out when you listen to the truth. But I always make mention of you in my prayers, making a request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey, right? Literally the language says, I might succeed in reaching you in the will of God to come to you. See, He says, I'm making prayer about this, but I want to make sure it's in the will of God. Isn't that what I just said? Whenever I pray, I want to make sure it's the will of God, that I can come to you and have success in reaching you in the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to be Father's desire for me to do it to be prosperous. I want to make sure that I stay in God's will. Don't just be saying some kind of prayer because you've been told that's what you're supposed to do. You only say what the Spirit of God births inside of you. Anything else is just words bouncing off the floor, because they're not going to get outside this room. But when you speak the truth of God, what's birthed in your spirit by the Spirit of God, it'll come to pass. Because I know it's from Him. Verse 11. Because I long to do what? Well, you know what this word really means? No. K-N-O-W. I long not just to see you, but I long to know you. See, I can drive down the road and see thousands of people. You know what that does for me? Nothing. Looking at somebody means nothing to me. So I can look at Nick and say, oh, there's a little boy sitting over there. So I could slough that off that way if I wanted to. But see, I have began a relationship with Nick because I take time to find out who he is. You can't just take a relationship and say, I see a person. I see these people. That's not having a relationship. And this is about a relationship. You get to know. Paul says, I want to know you. See, it don't do good to look at somebody. I need to know you so we can communicate. If I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're about, do I? But if I know you, see, and here's the thing, it's got to be a two-way street. Paul ain't hiding from nobody, is he? He never held anything back. And see, in that relationship, he's telling you the same thing. You've got to be open and honest with me. You can't hide nothing. What good would it do to hide it? Who are you deceiving? Yourself. See? You're only deceiving to yourself. So be honest in relationships. Put it right on top of the table. I know Bob says he gets a lot of flack for it. So does Bob. So does Ed. For being right on top of the table saying what they believe. But you know, I like that. See, because I don't have to wonder where you're at. I know where you're at because you let me know just like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with letting people know where you're at. I long to see you in order that I may impart to you some, what? Non-carnal gift. What's the language says? It doesn't say spiritual, it says non-carnal. Of course, if it's not carnal, guess what it is? It's spiritual. See? That's where they get, but the language actually says some non-carnal gift. He said, I want to give you something that's not carnal. To the end that you might be what? The word established is a little more than what we think it is. The language says it this way, that you may turn resolutely in a certain direction. So he's saying, I want to impart something that's not carnal to you. I want to give you something from the Spirit of God so that you will change your direction in a set course and you'll go that direction. See? When I give you this gift, impart this spiritual thing to you, that you will change your direction from where you're going and go toward the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? That's a repentance. It surely is. It'll change my course. Change the way I think. Okay. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you or in you through the mutual or reciprocal faith both of you and me. See, when how can two walk together except they be agreed? Right? How many relationships do we see where one is in the faith of God and one's not, and look at the turmoil in the families? See? It's all the time. See? But if we're both walking the same course, how much easier is it? One can put a thousand to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. If we're walking the same course, yeah, there's still going to be twice as many attacks. But together, we're much stronger. We're much stronger. See? But if we're walking in two separate courses, had a man call me not too long ago, and he said, you know, my wife and I are separating. We're going different directions. I said, no, you're not. She said, oh, yeah, she stopped. And I said, well, let me show you something. When two people are walking together and one person stopped, that person ain't going nowhere, is it? You're going on. Guess what you're doing every day? You're getting farther away from that person. And not because they're going anywhere. It's because they stopped. That's the only thing that'll defeat you. It's when you stop. In the desert, they were called nomads, weren't they? Nomads didn't stop very often, did they? They just kept going. You know why? Because they didn't feel they had a permanent place. And the only thing that you can stop in is when you find your permanent place. See? We don't stand there, huh? We're getting established in our permanent place. And my permanent place is in Christ. See? And when I get there, I can stop. But now I'm going to continue in Him because it's Him directing it. I can rest in Him because now He's the boss. I'm just doing what He wants. Okay? Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, because oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but I was what? What's the word there? Tell me. Where's the word let? Okay, L-E-T. King James says L-E-T, doesn't it? Now see, most people will tell you, oh, the King James is the inspired word of God. No, it's a translated word of God. It was translated from the Greek language into this Hebrew language. The King James is a translated language. in its English language, which we don't even talk in this way, this word let right here, if we talk in our English language today, now you read it, if I say, I will let Lloyd go to the door, it's allowing him to go, it's a permissive word. But the word in the language says he was hindered. He was stopped. So it's a restraining word. It's a hindering word. 180 degrees different from the thing, wasn't it? See? That's why I'm telling you, you can't just read this English language and think you know what this Bible says. You've got to re-understand that this language. Is written a long time ago. So when he was speaking back then, we got to go back and see what that word meant back then. True or false? You'll never understand what the Spirit was saying unless you get in the realm where he's at. Okay? But he was led hitherto that I might have some fruit in you also, even as the rest of the Gentiles. Of the other Gentiles, the rest of the Gentiles, in you as long as, like the rest of the Gentiles. So what he's saying, I'm looking for fruit in you, and he was talking to the Romans, wasn't he? That's where the epistle was going, to the ones in the world. He said, I want fruit in you as the rest of the Gentiles. So who was he talking about? Huh? Yep, that's who he's talking about, this word right here. He said, I want fruit in you, and I want it in the rest of the Gentiles too. So how many is that? That's all. That's what God's saying. I want to get it in. Paul said, I want fruit in every one of you. And that's what the book says our purpose is, that we bear much fruit back to our Father. Okay? Verse 14, he says, I am debtor, or I'm under obligation, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unintelligent or the foolish. That covers it all. Said to the fools and to the wise, I'm obligation to all of them. So, as much as is in me, let me state it a different way. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. But it should say this, so as much as the Christ is in me. Does that make it a little clearer? So as much as Christ is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, the ones in, guess where? Didn't say in the church, did he? He said, I'm not ready to preach to church. I'm ready to preach to Rome. This is self, the ones that are in humanity, the ones that's in the world. Remember Isaiah 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Yeah. And his train filled the temple. You're the temple. And when King Uzziah died, King Uzziah means strength. When your own strength dies, that's when you're going to see the Lord high and lifted up. That's when you're going to see the temple filled with his train. That's when you're going to be filled. When you die, when your strength dies out. Oh, God, help us. Absolutely. Oh, God, help us. But he said, I am ready to preach the gospel. You know why Paul was ready to preach the gospel? Because he knew the gospel. He was intimate with the gospel. See, he was the only man in this book that had the guts. I'm talking about human beings that had the guts to stand up and say, this is my gospel. It's no longer a gospel of somebody else because I have become one with God. This I'm not ashamed of. And this is the gospel of God. He's going to reconcile all of you. Even if you want to cut my head off, you're still going to be reconciled, and I'm going to love you. Go ahead and cut it off. That's what Paul did. He never backed down because they was going to cut his head off. He never backed down because they were going to take him to Rome and put him before the emperor and say, hey, you know, you're a bad guy. Let's just kill him. He could have backed up anytime he wanted to and recanted that, and they'd have let him loose. All they wanted him to do was compromise. And that's all the world wants you to do is compromise, and they've got you. Because the first time you compromise, it's the hardest. The second one's a whole lot easier. And the third and the tenth and the 50th don't mean a thing then. Compromise is not even in my mind. I can't do it. And I didn't do that. God did it. Okay? So you got to be ready to preach the gospel, the truth, that all would be reconciled to everybody. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See there? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And see, I got the good news. God's going to get you all back where you belong. That's the good news. Because it is the power of God to not salvation, but to deliverance. Jesus died for our salvation. Hello? But now we need deliverance. We need delivered from the way we think. We need delivered from this mind of Adam, this mind of self, back to the mind of Christ, what we had before the foundation of the world. We were with Him. In the day we were created, we were perfect. That's what the book says. We loved God and hated evil, but we hadn't been tested. Hello, tests. Test, test, test. We got them coming. It's the only way it's going to get you back to where you're supposed to be in your mind. Okay? It's the power of God to salvation or deliverance to everyone that believes or has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now let me read you something out of Romans. I'm going to read you something out of Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to how many people? Every man the measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. Don't tell me you don't have faith. My book says God give faith to all men. See? Now you might have a different measure than what I got, but you got a measure. And you know what a measure is? It's a seed. God has deposited a seed of faith in everyone. And when it's time, He will call that thing up. Come on up. It's time. I'll resurrect that faith in you when it's time for you to come. Okay? When you plant a seed in the ground and you look and you look and look and it don't come out of the ground for days or weeks, you can't make that seed come out of the ground. God has already set a time when that seed would be at the right amount of moisture, the right temperature, and the right light penetration into that soil. That thing will come out, and you can't stop it. It's coming. Huh? It's all germination set up by God. Okay? Not us. We don't do that. He said the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, see, everybody wants to believe the Jew being the Christian people and the Greek being the non-believers or the Gentiles or the pagans, whatever you want to call them. But he didn't say, I'm going to get the Jews and leave them go to hell, did he? He said the Jew first. The Jew had the opportunity, didn't he? First, and then the Gentile. Who's left out of that? You're either Jew or Gentile. I mean, there's only two ways you can look at it, Jew or Gentile. He said, I'm going to get the Jew first, then I'm going to get the Gentile. And he wasn't talking about the natural physical Jew to start with. He's talking about the spiritual Jew. I'll get them first, and that's my first fruit, and then they'll take care of the rest of it for me. I'll get them all. Verse 17. For out of it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live from out of what? Out of his faith, Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by his faith, not our faith. For the wrath or the desire or passion of God is revealed from heaven over all wickedness and unrighteousness or deeds and violating the law and justice of humanity who hold or are holding the truth in unrighteousness. Guess what? What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. You know how many people that's holding Christ in unrighteousness, in violation of the law and their deeds and of justice? They don't know they're doing it. I'm talking about church folk too, most of them. But they don't know it because they're only living on what someone told them. They're living on somebody else's manna. They've not went to the hill to get it themselves. And you have to go get it every day, or else you'll get pretty skinny. Okay? Verse 19, because that which is known, not maybe, that's not right, the word is, that which is known of God is not manifest, but it's apparent. It's made apparent in them because God made it apparent to them. Before the foundation of the world, it's already there. There's no excuses, okay? Because that which is known of God is apparent in them because God has made it apparent to them, okay? Because the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, that's from the foundation or conception, are clearly seen. Hello? See, when you step into this realm of God in the Spirit, into tabernacles, and I'm not talking about this one's better than that one, I'm just saying when you walk into this Holy of Holies in God, you're going to see things other people's eyes do not see. And if you say anything, they'll just say you're crazy. And the church folk will tell you you're crazy. I'm not talking about all this emotional stuff they're talking about. I'm talking about walking in the presence of God. You'll see things that other people don't see. And by seeing those things, you're not disturbed. And there's a passage in the Old Scripture. God, I wish I could pull up the passage so I could read it to you, but I can't pull it up right now. And the man prayed, the prophet prayed. The one man that was helper to the prophet says, look, aren't you scared? We're surrounded. And the man woke up, the prophet woke up and said, he didn't say, Lord, bring an army and defeat all these people that's got us surrounded. He said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. He was surrounded by chariots of fire. And see, no one could touch him. It was only an illusion in his mind. It's the same thing in your mind if you understand. Man, open your eyes and see what God has for us out here. You don't have to worry about what they threaten you with. All God's got to do is open your eyes, and there's no more fear. How many people would like to live with no fear? It's your choice. Open your eyes and see what God has before you. You got no reason to fear anything because God said it's all right. I don't care what your mind tells you. God says it's all right. Okay? Oh, geez, I get wound up in this. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know what the things are that's made? Us. See, we can see what God has done. Even His eternal power and Godhead. The word Godhead don't even exist in Scripture. That's a religious word. It should mean this. It should say this. Even His eternal power and divine nature. That's what the language says. His divine nature. No Godhead. See, because when you say Godhead, you're already talking about three things again. And God's not three, God's one. Somebody's got their math backwards, haven't they? God's not dividing and separating. He's putting it right together. He's combining. So that they are without excuse. Literally, that should say, even His eternal power and divine nature, to Him, they are indefensible. They can't make an excuse. You can't make an excuse that God will buy. When you make an excuse, you know what you're doing? You're lying to yourself. When you justify, you just lie. Justifying is just a line, isn't it? So all you're doing is fooling with yourself. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain, that means foolish, wicked, and idolatrous, in their imaginations. Hello? Most church folk are foolish, wicked, and idolatrous in their imaginations. They think all kinds of wrong thoughts about God. God is not some big bad guy up here waiting to burn people in hell. Excuse me, God is love. Which one is right? The church will stand up, the preacher will stand up and say, God is love, but He's going to burn you in hell. Well, excuse me, don't love me that much. Don't love me so much that you're going to put me in eternal hell and burn me. It don't make sense to me. And I don't think God is stupid, but I think people are. Don't get too quiet on me. People are stupid. They listen to what people say and not what their Creator says. God's the one saying this. Listen to it. He's not mad at you. He loves you. So why should you be mad at Him? Because He does something to help you. Oh, my God. And their foolish heart, and that word foolish means wicked, stupid, and unintelligent. Their wicked, stupid, and unintelligent heart is darkened. Well, that ain't no big surprise. All you got to do is look and see it. See, everybody thinks the heart is something that's hidden deep within you. From out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. See? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what? That heart ain't hid. It's only hid to the ones that haven't walked into the truth. You're only deceiving yourself when you think you're hiding it from somebody else. Boy, you're getting too quiet in here. Getting too serious on me. It's you. It's your nature. It's the way you act. It's what you do. You'll tell me everything about you by just being who you are. When you walk into this truth, you'll be able to look at people and know where they're at. It's okay. It's not condemnation. It's just knowing where you're at. Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? The language says simpletons. You know how many people come to me and they try to impress me with what they know in the Scriptures? I'm not impressed by what you know. I'm not impressed by what I know. What I know is a gift of God. So you know what impresses me? God. So when you come and talk to me about something about God, you can impress me when it's the truth of God, not something you learned in the cemetery. You hear me? Impress me by when God speaks to you. Just like Bob said this morning, you want to know what they have to say. When I hear you talk, I want to hear you let me know what God's telling you. Don't tell me what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so told you. I'm not interested in that. I want to know what you got to say, because God is in every one of you, and that's what I want to know. Because, see, you got a piece of God that I ain't got. And the only way I'm going to get it is having a relationship with you and letting you put that injection into me. Let me have what you got, and I'll give you what I got. Then we both got a bunch, see? Then we can add to it. We can't play this game, I know more than you know. It's all about competition in the church realm. Most of the kingdom realm is competition. And when you go to the conferences, they'll have 4 and 5 preachers preaching. Maybe 10. And everybody's competing. Hey, let me preach. I got a word. Hey, let me preach tonight because I have to get on the road to another place, man. They're all vying for the place that they think is the best. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be no part of that. If I'm going to speak, let me speak last. Then I can set everything back in order. I'd rather be there. Because see, if I'm first, everybody's going to walk over top of me. No one's going to remember anything I said. Let me have the floor last, and I'll guarantee you I'll have their attention when I'm done. I'll put it back. And the last will be first. Okay? Oh. Whew. They become simpletons when they try to impress you. Verse 23, and they changed, and that word changed is wrong. It's kind of halfway right, but it should put two letters with it. E-X. They exchanged. See? They exchanged the truth for a lie. Okay? They exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image resembling corruptible man. See? They took the ideas of God and changed them and made them look like what they wanted them to look like. They wanted to make them look like humanity because, you know what? They love humanity. They like the humanistic way of doing things. So that's why they try to change it into their view. In Psalms it said they tried to mark the Holy One of Israel. Literally, it was to put a shape on Him. And you can go to a Baptist church and they got a Baptist Jesus. You go to a Nazarene church, they got a Nazarene Jesus. You go to a Church of Christ and they got a Church of Christ Jesus. And every one of them's different. God is one. See, they're all taking it from their own view. And you hear people say this, well, you could take 100 preachers and every one of them preach and everything's got their own view. I said, yeah, because it's their view. There's only one view, and it's the view of God. It has nothing to do with what I think. I don't preach about me. I preach about God. And if they would, they'd have basically the same thought process that I have. I'm sorry, I can't help, I have to say the truth. If you read this book by the Spirit of God, God does not talk out of both sides of His mouth. So if He's speaking to His people, they should be talking basically the same thing. Everybody's got their own flavor to be able to add that to it, yes. But to say the same thing that contradicts each other, I'm sorry, that ain't God. God doesn't contradict Himself. The house is not divided. This book of Romans, I love it. I like Paul. He was my hero behind Jesus. This is my hero in the book. He's my hero. Man, he said it like it was, and I love that. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of a resembling corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, creeping things. He's just talking about the beast nature. They took the godly nature and created it and formed it, exchanged it for the beastly nature. Hello? Through which God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their own minds, to dishonor their own bodies between or in themselves. See? All the corruption is inside. What you express in your physical action is only coming from what's internally in you. What's going on in your heart? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think being a drug addict is cool, you know what I'm going to be? Be a drug addict. As soon as I find out that's not me, that's not my true identity, I'm a son of God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live like a son of God. I'm going to scratch and claw every day of my life to get to that point where I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe it's going to take me a while to come out of that old identity, but I'm going to get there. If I really believe that. You've got to endure something. Right? Okay. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into what? The lie. You know what the lie is? Anybody know what the lie is? Turn to Genesis chapter 3 verse 5. Genesis chapter 3 verse 5, and you'll find out what the lie is. See? The lie started in the beginning, didn't it? You got to go back to the beginning, Genesis, to find out where it's at. This is the serpent talking. The beast that's more, the one that's more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God created. Right? Look in verse 5. And you're the one that creates it in your own mind anyway, so we'll get past that. Look what the serpent says in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what? All he was doing was convincing her she wasn't of God. She was already formed in the image of God. See? The lie is, you're not God. Well, I'm not God, I'm God's son. See? And there's the lie. I'm not worthy to do that. Well, I'm not good enough. There's the lie. And see, that's what people have exchanged it to in this humanistic view that we live in today. And they worship and serve the creature or the, you know, more than the creator. They worship the creation, literally. That's the Greek word katisis, means creation. They worship the creation, which is each other, or animals, or possessions. They worship all this stuff more than the Creator Himself, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. Verse 26. Through this, God gave them up unto disgraceful passions. Because both their women did exchange the natural use. This word use isn't what you think it is. The word use here, use, the Greek word says sexual intercourse. They left the natural use of sexual intercourse that the woman was supposed to be with into that which is against reproduction, not nature. It's against reproduction. If a woman and a woman's in bed together, there is no reproduction. If a man and a man's in bed together, there's no reproduction. It takes the man and the woman to have a reproduction. And that's what God set man together. He said, Adam and Eve, come together And he didn't he say, multiply and replenish the earth. That's reproduction, isn't it? So he's saying, he's going to turn them over himself. If you don't want to believe God and keep God in your heart, he said, I'll turn you over to that reprobate mind. I'll let you have it, and you won't have any reproduction. And we're not necessarily talking natural. This is spiritual, too. No fruit possible out of that. Verse 27, and likewise also men leaving the natural sexual intercourse of the woman, burned in their own lust to one another, men not with, but men in men. That's what the language says. The word with is en. Men in men, working indecent acts, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is necessary. Anybody quote to me Galatians 6, verse 6, 7, and 8? Want to know what it is? God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, of the flesh he'll reap corruption. If he sows of the Spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. Right there is your witness to it. He said, if you don't want to love God, I'll turn you over yourself and you'll just make a mess. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or a worthless mind to do those things which are not becoming to sons. That word convenient should be not becoming to sons. See? If I'm a son, I'm not going to do them kind of things. There's people running around that said Jesus was a homosexual because he hung out with 12 men. That's a worthless, reprobate mind. They said God puts his blessing upon homosexuality. I mean, that's because their mind has exchanged the truth for a lie, for the lie. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Anything you want to hear, you can hear it. You can hear it if you want to hear it. But when I hear that stuff, I just cast it off. See? It's not because of what somebody told me. Because if I listen to what somebody told me, I begin to believe the church that I started in, they take homosexuals and make them pastors. Oh, many of them do today. See, it's because we've become insensitive to the truth. We've seen it so long, it doesn't bother us anymore. You can see things for so long and you become insensitive to them. You've been desensitized. You don't sense anything about it. Right, wrong, don't make it. I just do whatever you want to do. And see, that's what we've done. We've become, as a whole nation, we've come that way. The whole world's become that way. Just let everybody do whatever they want to. Well, that's basically what I say, but know this, you're going to reap what you sow. And I don't have to be part of what you're doing. And I don't have to be part of it, see? Because I'm not of this world. My disciples, Jesus said, are not of this world. See? I'm an alien here. Hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm an alien. Okay? Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now this is what he's telling about the ones who choose not to retain God in their knowledge, in their hearts, okay? They're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and that's wickedness that's not ashamed to break the law. This word malicious means wickedness that's not ashamed to break the law. We're not talking about the speed limit. We're talking about breaking the laws of God. They're not ashamed to go against what God said man and woman will reproduce. They're going to go man and woman to woman, and then we're going to get somebody else to make a kid for us so we can have babies and still do what we want to do. But we're going to do it our way. See, God's not saying that. Full of envy, or literally jealousy. Full of jealousy. Murder. Debate. The word debate means quarreling. Always quarreling. Full of deceit. I think we know what that means. Full of malignity. Malignity does not mean like a cancer growing on you. A malignant disease. This word malignant here means bad character. Bad character. That's not hard to figure out, is it? See, because character is not who you are when everything is really good. Character is who you are when all the hell is broke loose in your life. What are you then? What are you when all the tests come upon you? Who are you then? That's what God wants to know. Who are you then? See, these people with this bad character, you know what I do? You step on somebody's toe and you'll find out who they are. It's like stepping on a snake. It'll bite you. But if you've got the character of God, you step on that maggot, that crimson maggot, that worm, it feels the same pain that snake felt, but it does not retaliate and bite you. See the difference? That's why Isaiah said, I am a worm. Or God, Isaiah said, you are a worm, Jacob. God said to him, you're a worm, Jacob. He's a maggot, what he said. Now, we don't think good about maggots, but they're okay. They're a good thing. You better believe it. Whisperers. You know what that says? Whisperer. Secret slanderer. That's people that come and say, hey, I like you. Me and you good. What's going on, man? You got any gossip? And then they get the gossip and say, hey, that's cool. I won't tell anybody. Hey, Bob, you know what he told me over there? That no good to so-and-so. You know, he's slandering somebody. What you got? Hey, what you got? You got something for me? Running around, portraying to be your friend, everybody's friend, gathering gossip. You know how many people in church are like that? Good God. They say, let's go fellowship. It means let's go get the gossip all lined up, so we can find out who's in doing the bad things and who's talking about it and who's not talking about it and find out why they're not talking about it. Okay? Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. That literally means insulter. Someone's always insulting people. Proud. Full of pride. We know what that is. Boasters. Braggarts. You ever know anybody brag about everything? Inventors of evil things. Here's one, hang on. Disobedient to parents. How come them kids looked up? Just teasing with you. But we should obey our parents. The first commandment with promise is honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the earth. And that's serious. Honor your mother and father. As much as my father abused me in my life, he did the best he could do, and I'll cover him in that. He did the best he could do in the circumstances he was put under. And what he went through to put me where I was, for me to go through what I needed to go through to make me who I am today, I'm thankful for it. I sure didn't like it when I was going through it. But the whole time of all that I went through in my life, I never raised my hand to my father to hit him. I wouldn't let him hit me at a certain point in life. I stopped that. But I never raised my hand to hit him, and I never hated him for it. I didn't understand it. It was a confusion to my young mind. I couldn't understand. Why would my father, who's supposed to love me, do these things to me? See? And God gave me that ability to sense and experience those things, and I'm not mad about it. I'm glad it happened. I don't want to go through it again, but I'm glad it happened. Because now I can have compassion upon my father, my natural dad, who didn't understand. He's already passed through. I think he understands now. I know he understands now. But see, it's either dust to dust and spirit to spirit. I know where he's at. He's with God. And I think he knows all he needs to know right now. Okay? Now, where are we at? 31. Without understanding. You know what that word means in the Greek? Stupid. Make it real simple. That's what it means. It means stupid. Stupid. Covenant breakers. You ever know anybody that's a covenant breaker? I'm going to do this and they never do it. That's a covenant breaker. See, your word is a covenant. God's word is a covenant. We are God's children. We should be speaking the same thing out of our mouth. Life and death and the power of the tongue. Which one are you speaking? You make a covenant, you know what you should do? A lot of times we make a covenant, we write a check we can't cash. Right? We say we're going to do something we can't do. The best thing to do is make communications back to that person and say, you know, I'm really sorry, something's come up. But most people, when they do that, and I had this just happen to me just recently in